coming up on golf today, Justin Thomas, a major champ again, adding a second Wanamaker to the shelf at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa. How did he turn frustration into validation, and where does the win place him in history? It's a JT kind of Monday, and it's Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Quite the Sunday at Southern Hills as Justin Thomas, the son and grandson of a PGA professional, started the day 7 strokes back, posted a final round 67 to ultimately defeat Will Zalatoris in a 3-hole aggregate playoff to win the PGA Championship for the second time and be reunited with the Wanamaker Trophy after 5 years. So with that, we welcome you into this Monday edition of Golf Today. Anna Jackson, absolutely delighted to be back on the desk with Mr. Damon Hack. Great show ahead of us. So many storylines to get to, but what a weekend. I mean, right from Thursday through Sunday, from Rory sort of cracking it on a Thursday, and we thought, here we go, Rory, he's back in business in the majors. So then, you know, Bubba shooting 63 on Friday, Tiger withdrawing on Saturday, JT with one of the all-time major comebacks on Sunday. Just so good.
It was so good. And a reminder to me that history is often made on a razor's edge. You know, a putt rolls a half putt short on the 71st hole, or a drive that you want to just cut a little bit bends too far to the right, and you see a player trying to win for the first time turn off to the tee box in disgust. It's a reminder to me of 1990 and Mike Donald coming close to winning a U.S. Open. Kenny Perry, 2009, trying to win the Masters in bogeying 17 and 18 after birdieing 16. This game is confounding, it's mystifying, and it's strangely beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, and we kind of went into Sunday. You know, it wasn't, let's face it, the most exciting major championship leaderboard. We had no real stars at the top, and that's nothing to take away from the brilliant golf that Mita Pereira had been playing all week. Cameron Young was up there as well, up-and-coming stars of the game. But it wasn't a major leaderboard.
Sure.
To have JT come back from 7 shots back, I mean, he wasn't in contention, let alone tipped to be a winner yesterday. So it was meant to be. The stars aligned. He's got such deeply rooted connections to the PGA. So it was just the golfing gods, I think, were meant to be.
Think about how hard he has been on himself over the last several years, the standard that he holds himself to, and to be able to find a way 7 shots down on Saturday night and Sunday morning, and to have the right swing thoughts and have the right poise to make enough pars and just enough birdies to win that long-awaited second major. I tell you what, it was a little bit of a slow start to Sunday, but it was a fantastic finish.
It was, sure, yeah. Check out how we got there, D-Hack.
Shall we? We shall.
Let's do some highlights. All right, well, let's check in with Justin Thomas now on the par 311. This is kind of where things started to take a turn.
Yeah, trying to make that Sunday charge. Birdied 5, birdied 9. This from 64 feet away. And look at this little body language. Very reminiscent of 2017 at Quail. Yeah, that very similar kind of head tap. It's a little bit of foreshadowing from JT.
But at that point, still trailing by 5.
Yeah.
Not really that much in with a chance. But now onto 16, his third at the greenside bunker.
Talk so much about his power. Forget about his short game. Look at this touch and that difficult par 4 greenside bunker to inches. Saves par, stays at 400. Now just trails by 2.
Yeah, that up and down was so crucial. Now onto 17. Short birdie putt makes it. Always walks it in there.
A little Kevin Na action. Gets to 5 under. Just 1 shot back. So trying to bring it into the house.
Yeah, so really he just wants to make a par on 18. Trailing by 1, as you mentioned. His second now from 167.
Look at that stage, Anna. Just the moment. And the man for the moment talking about it. Just never leaves the flagstick. Hits it to about 10 feet. Look at that wind whipping. How difficult that closing hole is. More on that in a bit. Now for birdie to tie the lead.
Yeah, he saw the crack in the door opening. And he was seizing the opportunity. So he missed that. But the leader in the clubhouse at 5 under, so would make par. Now, Will Zalatoris, he was in contention all weekend on 18, trailing by 1.
Yeah, 8-footer for par. How about that moment? 10th in strokes gained putting on the week. You're calling it a weakness. It was a strength for most of the week, and Tulsa ties the clubhouse lead.
That's
at
right.
5 under.
So Mito Pereira, 1-stroke lead at this point, up the 72nd hole, and does this.
How many times have we seen him on the 72nd hole of a major? Said later, you didn't feel nervous, but pressure makes your body do strange things. Kind of things started to speed up from there, as it so often happens. You go on to make double bogey on the last hole of a major championship.
absolute heartbreak. Trying to become Chile's first men's major champion. Wasn't meant to be, D-Hack.
It was not. So how about some playoffs in the PGA Championship since 2000? Tiger beating Bob Mabel. Hall of Vijay over DeMarco and Justin Leonard. Whistling Straits 2010. Also Whistling Straits. Martin Keimer gets it done. Keegan Bradley 2011 in Atlanta. And then JTV. Willie Z.
Yeah, so let's check out that playoff highlight because it was neck and neck. I mean, JT, he was a killer from the very beginning, but here's Zalatoris on the first playoff hole, the 13th, his second.
Yeah, after JT had the layup, trying to put a little pressure on former world number one from 221 yards. Now calls himself a major championship specialist, and now we know why.
Now we know why. He two putt for birdie there, moved to one under. So JT, his third into the par five.
Yeah, he's second on tour from 75 to 100 yards. Hits it to about 11 feet on average, about 6 feet on Sunday. Make the birdie to move to one under.
So two birdies for both the boys on the opening playoff hole.
There's Mike, PGA Pro, proud of his son.
So, second playoff hole. Such well-chosen holes, by the way, for this player.
Yeah.
Rival par four now on 17.
Yeah, he loves 17th hole PGA Championship. Told me once that the best shot he ever hit was at Quail Hollow in 2017 on that 17th. This one has to be up there as well. The club twirl, the focus, the showmanship, the timing, the 35 feet with two putt.
Just so clutch. Zalatoris now, seven-footer for birdie.
Dang. Just burns the edge, maybe a misread there. JT leads by one, going to the last.
That's right, so up 18, long birdie putt to tie JT for Zalatoris.
Yeah, really a last gasp effort. Such a tough finishing hole. No reason to hang your head, though, the week that Will Zalatoris had.
Absolutely not. He did not lose it. He just got beaten by this man, Justin Thomas. As soon as he saw that opportunity open up at the playoff, he took it and look, reunited with the Wanamaker Trophy after 5 years, a win that means so much, and he deserved it.
Yeah, five-year wait for that second major. Big hug to Bones, who added so much wisdom and calm and experience to that team. Telling JT to remember who you are a great player. Joining John Mahaffey, that largest deficit comeback, 1978, when John Mahaffey did it at Oakmont, final round of the PGA. So let's hear from the two-time PGA champion.
I wasn't looking at leaderboards today. I was just trying to play golf. It kind of goes back to what I said on Thursday of just not trying to play golf swing, not trying to play, you know, the field, not trying to play to a certain person, really just trying to execute each shot as well as I could. And then wherever it ended up, you know, just give my club to Bones and let's move on and try to do the best we can on the next one. And he did an unbelievable job of keeping me in the moment and keeping me patient today. And, yeah, I mean, it just is an unbelievable team win for all of us.
So your dad mentioned that that on the range last night, Bones kind of gave you a tough love conversation. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little more about that? And also, was it stuff like that why you really wanted him to come out of retirement and caddy for
him? Yeah, he. I mean, I'm fully confident saying that I wouldn't be standing here if he didn't give me that. Wasn't necessarily a speech, but a talk, if you will. And I mean, I just needed to let some steam out. I didn't need to bring my frustration and anger home with me. I didn't need to leave the golf course in a negative frame of mind. And I just went down. I mean, I played pretty well yesterday for shooting four over, and I felt like I played terrible. And he was just like, dude, like you've got to be stopping so hard on yourself. You know, you're in contention every single week we're playing. I've had a lot of chances to win tournaments, and it's a hard golf course. It's a major championship. Like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be perfect, and just don't be hard on yourself. Just kind of let stuff happen, and everything is trending the right direction. So just keep staying positive so that good stuff can happen. And, I mean, I left here in an awesome frame of mind. I mean, it was I think the last player here was like this out right now. I mean, it was so peaceful. It was almost kind of eerie how beautiful it was outside. And I just was, there's not very many times after shooting four over on Saturday of a major I left in as good a frame of mind as I have.
Justin, can you speak to how special it is to win the PGA of America's major championship considering your father and your grandfather?
Yeah, it's very, very special. I'm pleased, and I mean, at this point, any of them is great. I don't care which one it is. I mean, as Tom Brady always says, your favorite Super Bowl is your next one, and that's what my favorite major is. And at this moment, it's definitely this guy right here. And yeah, I mean, it would. I'm looking forward to talking to my grandma. I'm sure she was watching, but yeah, I know, somewhere up there, Grandpa was definitely watching today and pulling for me, and it's very, very cool to be able to share this moment with my family.
You seem to have showed more emotion after this one than I can remember. Mm-hmm. What's the reason?
I just think it's just so hard to win, like it is, and I legitimately think it's harder to win now than it was when I first came out on tour, just for the sake of the depth of the tour. I mean, I clearly haven't won the amount of times that a handful of guys have this year, but I feel like I've played just as well as anybody on tour this year. I just haven't had the trophies to show, and I'd fallen in the world ranking. And I mean, that just kind of shows how strong it was, or how strong the game of golf is.
So JT now boasting a resume that puts him in the company of some of the all-time greats. 15 wins, including two majors before the age of 30. He joins the likes of Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Johnny Miller, the great Tiger Woods, Rory, of course. And now JT has put his name in that mix. So Justin Thomas tweeting today, a massive thank you to everybody involved in making days like yesterday happen. It's why I and all of us work our tails off to be in scenarios like that. There is nothing better. I couldn't be happier to be a two-time !!x4 PGA Championship winner. Let's keep it rolling. And his good friend, mentor, great buddy Tiger Woods tweeting, big congrats to Justin Thomas. He kept himself in the championship until the very end. And once again, he got his shot. He didn't look back. Thanks to Tulsa and the PGA Championship for a great week. We will have much more on Tiger later, by the way, because huge storylines coming from him. But he's been such an amazing influence on JT. And you kind of saw a bit of the Tiger fight on that Sunday.
Oh,
JT,
yeah.
he just did what he needed to do, and he stuck with it, and the fruit prevailed.
It did. Justin Thomas is a legacy player. He views himself in the like of the greatest of all time, wants to be a member of that elite group, have a seat at that table. And the question was just how is he going to get there? Already well on his way to a Hall of Fame career, Sunday made it a lock. You're a two-time PGA champion. You are a player's champion. You've been number one in the world. You have done just about everything there is in this game at this point in his career. But the question was Justin Thomas going to continue to be so hard on himself and not allow the talent to flow? What a wonderful message from Bones, as he mentioned in that sound on Saturday. Stop being so hard on yourself. You're in contention every week. Justin Thomas telling the media, oh, my world ranking stinks, kind of borrowing the Brooks Koepka embarrassment line, not being number one in the world. His mentor, as you mentioned, Anna, is Tiger Woods. He wants to be of that ilk, and it's a very difficult pressure, I think, for this next generation of player following in the footsteps of Tiger Woods, who we talk about to no end. We know the record book of Tiger, and this is, his little brother in Justin Thomas, and trying to keep pace with an impossible resume. But I think yesterday was a huge day for him. We have seen it, over the last several years, players trying to kind of compete in this shadow of Tiger Woods. I mean, look at this resume for a 29-year-old. 15 tour wins, two PGAs now in a player's. He's won the FedEx, been number one. Lowest score in 72-hole PGA Tour event. We included a 59, by the way, in that opening round of the Sony. Twice Ryder Cup, twice member of the President's Cup. Won an NCAA championship. And yet here he was really beating himself up over the last several years.
Yeah, this is not the storyline that I think we thought that we were going to be talking about come Monday. We've been absolutely spoiled with the major champions that we've had recently. You think of recent storylines like Hideki Matsuyama becoming the first Japanese men's major champion, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson breaking through, Tiger in 2019. I mean, we have been spoiled with the storylines that we've had. And we kind of came into Sunday thinking, okay, this might not be one of the all-time great wins, but it was still going to be a good storyline because we've been watching these rookies come through all 4 days and persistently play great golf day in, day out. But when it came to Sunday, it proved that experience and championship prevails, because you have to have that experience in a major championship when it is a boiling pressure.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure. You've got the crowds. I mean, Mito Pereira coming up that 72nd hole, he would have never experienced anything like that in his whole life. And I'm sure his body felt completely different as it has done through Thursday, through Saturday. And you could see it in his swing. I mean, it was all kinds of off. But for Justin Thomas, that you've mentioned his resume, and it's only going to get stronger from here, because he's proved himself that you can win a major, starting seven strokes back. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, I think it's a big Sunday for him. And you mentioned Mito Pereira. To me, Justin Thomas was the right player to win this championship. It took more than 72 holes. JT birdied six of his final 13 holes, including two of three holes in that playoff. He shot that incredible round of 67 on Friday in the most difficult conditions. Came out of the wrong wave, as it were. You know, the late early wave was a very difficult wave, and Justin Thomas has the pedigree. He has the resume. It was almost like this was the right guy to win. And we talk about the mix of names, and I love the name. Cameron Young from New York, you know, an absolute stud on the Korn Ferry Tour, who's, you know, coming up short again on the PGA Tour, but very, very close to breaking through for the first time. Mito Pereira, what a story, and the heartbreak of his countryman from Chile, Joaquin Niemann. I was captivated with what we saw on Sunday, including Justin Thomas, who was so well off the pace, finding a way to keep it steady and to not shoot himself out of it on Sunday. And that's what we see in majors. You have to hang around sometimes. Not everybody's going to be Tiger Woods winning by 12. Sometimes a major falls into your lap, and Justin Thomas was the last player standing.
Yeah, it's, you kind of look at the top-ranked players at the moment, and Justin Thomas, he's always going to be there. No one has higher expectations on himself than he does. And for a lot of these players, you say, you know, world number one doesn't really mean that much to me. It's sort of just an outcome of some great golf. But you feel like it does mean a lot to JT. He's a world beater. He's fiercely competitive, and you look at the top and you see Scottie Scheffler. I mean, what happened to Scheffler over the weekend?
I'm not
entirely sure. We didn't see him at all. John Rahm didn't really show up. Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, all guys who compete week in, week out. It just wasn't really their weekend. I mean, for you, where does JT sit now in the world's best?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of an era where we're seeing, you know, who is the next alpha male? You know, 1 week we say it's John Rahm, and for several weeks we say it's John Rahm. What a great run that Dustin Johnson had. Brooks Koepka, I've said, the most mentally tough player that I've seen in majors since Tiger Woods. And now here's Justin Thomas kind of throwing his hat back into the ring, not to mention Scottie Scheffler with his four wins this season. I think this is the kind of the era that we're living in. We've kind of called these players Tiger Babies, which is a cute little name. They aren't really Tiger Babies. There's one Tiger Woods, and there's an appreciation and an awe and respect that these players have of Tiger. But to expect one of these players to win double-digit majors, when to me the talent level between Scheffler and Rahm and DJ and JT and Rory is very, very close, I think we can just appreciate what Justin Thomas did on Sunday, which was find a way to outlast the field and to find a way to quiet his mind on Sunday and say, you know what, on Saturday night I had a very good final range session with Bones, who told me to, you know, take a deep breath and enjoy the sunset, kind of feeling this eerie calm and finding his way to a second major championship. It's hard not to look at this generation of players through the lens of Tiger Woods, because he has been such a dominant force in this game. But I think we have to start to look at these players in a different way, appreciate the gifts that we have and the talents that they have, and not necessarily always hold themselves to the level of Tiger Woods, even though Justin Thomas has a unique irritability about him that he wants to hold himself to the highest standard possible.
Yeah, and even more of a hats off to him. I mean, coming off that 74 on Saturday, which he was so frustrated with, it would have been so deflating, because at the time he thought he's probably kind of played himself out of the tournament, especially after his opening round 67. He was on the bad half of the wave, as you said. So he just rallied and he showed the world exactly what he's made of, and he's become a two-time major champion in the process. So congrats to Justin Thomas. You deserved it, my friend. Okay, well, stay with us here on Golf Today, because we are just getting started. When we return, we have got much more reaction on the 104th PGA Championship, including sound from JT's team. We'll be hearing from Mike Thomas and Jim Bones McKay after the break.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And Wind Grips, the best grips in golf. And Bushnell Golf and the New Wingman, crank up your game. And by introducing the Cobra King Forged Tech Irons, a better player's iron.
take you back 5 years to Quail Hollow. Justin Thomas wins the 2017 PGA Championship for his first major victory. Hugs with his dad, Mike, and swing coach who's been with him since the very beginning of his career. And still, to this day, he doesn't get much more emotional than that. And then fast forward to Sunday, just yesterday, JT picks up his second major title and 15th career victory in his 191st PGA Tour start at the age of 29 years and 23 days. It was 5 years apart, but the Wanamaker Trophy and JT are back together again. So let's take a look at Justin Thomas's points bet odds through the week. So before the final round, he was 33-1 to win. When Mita then hit it in the water on 18, it moved to 5-1. And then safe to say, when he got to the playoff, he was the outright favorite. So let's hear from Team Thomas, shall we? Starting with his dad and swing coach, Mike.
Someone told me he was 15-1, which is crazy. I would have taken the other side of that, 15-1.
Yeah,
that sounds more like it. I mean, there was just too many people in front of him, and he was 12th, I think, at one time today. But, I mean, he's got a lot of guts. I mean, he's got a lot of heart. And, you know, he had a good putting week, which you got to do to make up, you know, clean stuff up that didn't happen right. So it worked out good.
Have you sensed him wrestling doubt with his game over the last year or so?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. He's probably played this year as well as he's played. I mean, he's had a gazillion top tens and a bunch of top fives. I mean, he's played well this year. I think, you know, he won so much that I think he was pressing. You know, he's only won once last year and hadn't won this year. I think he was definitely pressing some. So hopefully this will take the weight off a little bit and we'll get on a big run.
During those moments, did you have to be more than his mechanical coach and kind of talk to him about that to not press as much?
Bones had a great talk with him on the range yesterday. We went down there and he said some things that I wanted to say, but I know as a father, if I'd have said him, he'd have been like, "You're stroking my ego." But Bones said him, and it hit home for him. And I thanked Bones yesterday afternoon, again this morning, for what he said to him. That I think it was a really good message, and it hit home.
It felt like he had good mojo. Again, as he, you know, the two best rounds of golf he played this year prior to this week were the Friday rounds or the second rounds at the Players and the Masters when it was crazy windy. So kind of got this wind thing going this year, you know, and obviously he flights the ball incredibly well. Unbelievable hands around the green. As he showed on the 71st hole, that bunker shot, which we desperately needed a birdie there, was much tougher than it probably looked. In fact, he actually hit it with a 56 and not a 60. Which is not easy to do considering he hits bunker shots of that length, probably with a 60, 99% of the time, literally. So he showed a lot of moxie there, I thought, you know, hitting that shot and then playing 18 the way he did. Justin was as cool as a cucumber out there. I hate to sound cliche, but he was chill. And it was just, you know, at this point, all that hard work that he does at home, and he does a ton of it, you know, paid off in the way he played the playoff.
He's got so much experience in this game, and he's already a major champion. He's been on the bag for major champions before. Mm. And to find JT, you know, Bones is very happy having a nice little sort of broadcast media career. And he was doing very well at that. But he said, if I was ever going to go back to any bag, it would be JT. And now we know why.
Yeah, he got a good bag. I tell you, people talk about caddies and kind of do they matter, the importance of a caddy. I think back to 1995 at the Masters, Ben Crenshaw's game was in disarray. He ended up bearing his longtime mentor and swing coach in Harvey Pinnock. His caddy at the time, Carl Jackson at the Masters, a man of very few words, said, you know, adjust your ball position and turn your shoulders more. And Ben Crenshaw had a magical week and went on to win his second green jacket. I think on Saturday night when JT was having a pity party and Bones McKay said, stop, you know, beating yourself up. You're always in contention. You know, let yourself go a little bit. And JT actually looked at the sunset and said it was eerie calm that night. I mean, players these days lean on their caddies maybe more than the old school players. If Jordan Spieth says he and Michael Greller are a team, they're a team. If Justin Thomas thinks he gets mojo and information from Bones McKay and that it matters who his guy is on the back, then it matters. I think every player is different in that case. But Bones McKay, as we know, has a wealth of knowledge and experience. There aren't too many scenarios that he hasn't been in, whether his player was leading going into the final round or trailing, as JT was this week in Tulsa.
Yeah, and it was interesting how his dad, Mike, kind of said, if I have said those things to JT, then he probably wouldn't have believed me because he's his dad. And, you know, dads say things like that to their son to make them feel better. But because Jim Bones McKay said it, then it's just different. And he knew it was true. And it's self-belief. And self-belief in this game is everything.
It is. And these are guys that see their teams as a team. It's the caddy. It's maybe the workout guru or the swing coach and the head coach. You know, and I mean head coach, not like a head coach in football. But that's how these young players view it. It's a lot of we. That's not how Lanny Watkins and company did it back in the day. It was more keep up, you know, show up and shut up. In this era, the players really lean on their caddies, I think, more than they did in previous generations.
Yeah, they do. So it was JT's day, but someone who came up so, so close. That was Will Zalatoris, who just missed out in that playoff. He finished runner-up for the third time in 48 tour starts, just losing out to JT in that three-hole aggregate playoff. So Zalatoris picks up his fifth top 10 finish in his last seven major championship starts, falls to 0-2 when holding the second-round lead or co-lead, and 0-2 in playoffs. So let's hear from Zalatoris as he wrapped up this week.
Demonstrated not only that you're a young major player, but now you're a young major contender. You showed it in Augusta, you showed it here. I mean, you can win, mm-hmm. when you get close to that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything special about the majors that makes you play like this? Or?
Yeah, they're just exciting. There's only 4 years, and, you know, I think, you know, I wish I could give you a better answer than, you know, we've only got 4 years, and I think it's been a dream of mine to win a major since I was a little kid. You know, it's never been to be world number one or anything like that. It's been to win a major. And, you know, I grew up when I lived in San Francisco. My dad was a member of California Golf Club, and there's a shrine for Ken Venturi in there with his U.S. Open trophy. There was some of Ben Hogan's stuff in there. And, you know, being able to see that at a young age and say, hey, I want to get one of those. And seeing Jordan do it when I was in college, and obviously Scotty now. You know, I think playing in these events, you need a lot of resolve. And, you know, at times I may be out of it, but, you know, I'm always going to give it 110%. So I know in the future I'm going to get one.
In terms of playing under pressure, do you like playing under pressure? How do you like your game when you're playing pressure moments?
Yeah, I love it. If I didn't like it, I'd probably need to find a new career, right? Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing when people say, you know, man, what's it like playing in front of the crowds? And the joke line I tell people is, don't forget about the 10 million at home, you know? So it's, you know, even going through COVID with no fans, it you know, still, it's the same pressure. You know, I think it's something that every kid, obviously, when they're on the putting green, the putt, you know, the last putts to win the Masters or whatever it is, a PGA Championship, and that's what you practice for, you know, and that's why at home, you know, when I'm playing with guys, you know, that obviously are in Dallas, you know, we're playing money games. It's not because, you know, of course I want to beat them. I want to get in their pocket, but it's not about the money. It's about hitting shots under pressure that'll resemble to come out here just to make this a little bit easier. But I love it. I mean, this is what you live for.
Painfully close for Will Zalatoris, and obviously he is going to be disappointed with the outcome, but the future is so, so bright. He can take away so much from that performance.
I love the way he talks. I love the way he carries himself. Spent a little time with him at the Masters when he walked over to the press area. He carries himself like a guy who's already got a couple of majors in the bag, and I think that's very important. And I've spent some time talking to his coach, Josh Gregory. They know that the putting has been an issue and something they're working on, but they believe they're going in the right direction. When they have good moments on the greens, they call those memory bankers, you know, things to put away. That 8-foot putt must have on the 72nd hole, that's going to hold him in good stead. Look at how this player has started his major championship career. 5 top 10s and now 8 starts. The last player to start his career that good, Ernie Els. Pretty good career as well. I'm not saying Will necessarily is going to have a career like Ernie Els. I mean, no one knows at this point. But the way he carries himself, the way he thrives on these most difficult setups, major championship weeks, I think it holds himself in good stead. He's continuing to get experience. At the age of 25, if Will Zalatoris was a stock, I'd be buying at this point.
And it was just a bit of a roller coaster day for him on Sunday. The way that he went about, a bit of a disaster on six, let's face it, took me unplayable. That could have derailed his whole day. That could have really shaken him up, but it didn't. He managed to refind his focus, and he found himself in a playoff with one of the best players in the world, Justin Thomas. Now, he said he was really happy for JT because it was obviously a big thing for JT to get that second major. But the perspective that he has, realizing how much potential that he has on tour, that's huge. And if he said it's just a matter of time when I win one of these things.
I love it. I love his perspective. Yeah. This is all new to him. These experiences are all new. New golf courses, new experiences, new feels for his body. I think he's going to take away, and all the players that were close will kind of feel like there were moments that if I had this moment here or that putt or that shot. I thought that Will Zalatoris stood up tall for the entire week. He was 10th in strokes gained putting for the week. He didn't putt as well on the weekend as he did on Thursday and Friday, but I still think in whole, he will look back at this week as a stepping stone, as another week of growth. I am nothing but high on Will Zalatoris going forward.
Yeah, golf is a game of such fine margins. He was one shot away from tying Hideki Matsuyama at the Masters.
He
just missed out on the playoff at the PGA. He could have easily been a two-time major champion by now.
Big week.
And he knows that, so he can take away so much from his performance at Southern Hills. All right, well, after the break, we will take a look at a guy who gave it his very best on Sunday but came up short after a collapse on his final hole. Ultimately, still grateful in defeat. More on Mito Pereira. That's coming up next.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Well, in his bid to become the first major championship winner from Chile, third round leader Mito Pereira carded a double bogey on the par 4 18th. It was just a bit of a nightmare. He had the one-stroke lead at this point. Just had to make par.
Yeah, I can't help but think about that 17th hole. He had that birdie putt from about 12 feet. It was a half roll. Short instead of coming to that last with a two-shot lead, it's a one-shot lead. You can't afford a mistake like that. Very difficult to recover from. And just a reminder on the history of that hole, the things we've seen through the years, the calamitous moments on this green right here. Now, this is fourth.
I mean, the nerves. He must have been in disbelief thinking, what have I done?
Yeah, it just, you often hear it. Things kind of speed up. The game is suddenly out of your hands. When athletes talk about being in a high-performance situation, the game slows down. Things seem to speed up at this moment. And afterwards, a very disappointed Mito Pereira spent some time with CBS's Amanda Renner.
I know it's not easy, but how do you process what just happened, especially on 18?
It's tough, you know, to finish like that. Really good week. I didn't play really well today. Just needed to do a couple more birdies, so just hit it a little bit better to win. But just happy to how the week turned out. I mean, on Monday I just wanted to make the cut, and on Sunday I wanted to win. So really hold to that and take this to learn from the future.
We talked yesterday about everything that you can learn from this. 18T, talk me through it. Did it feel like you were moving faster than you wanted to, or what were you feeling in that moment?
I was okay. I just wasn't thinking about the water. It's weird that I just hit in the water and told my car, it's weird that it went in. But I guess it's, you have so much pressure in your body that maybe you don't even know what you're doing.
Your best friend, Joaquin Niemann, called you fearless. We know this is not going to stop you from succeeding in the future. Yeah. Thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Well, first of all, absolute kudos to Mito Pereira for doing media after throwing away the biggest opportunity of his career and talking to Amanda and answering the questions from anybody who was asking them his way. That takes so much. What do you think he will take away from this? Will it be more heartbreak, or will it be more of a sort of a positive takeaway that he actually put himself in that position to begin with?
It has to sting. I mean, he's got to feel like he had an opportunity there. He was so honest in saying he didn't necessarily feel different standing on that 18th tee, but pressure makes your body do things that maybe you don't even expect. And what an honest answer for a young man, 27 years of age, who, you know, won three times on the Korn Ferry Tour over that super season, 2020-2021, to get his PGA Tour card. We saw his countryman and best friend, Joaquin Niemann, living and dying with every shot on that CBS broadcast. And I was there in 2001 at the U.S. Open watching Retief Goosen and Stewart Cink and Mark Brooks make a mess of that hole on that Sunday leading to that playoff that Goosen ultimately won. It was an incredible bounce back. Most people thought that Mark Brooks would win that playoff because of the way that Goosen three-putted the 72nd hole. And you hope that maybe at some point Mito is able to have a comeback as well and take the positives, as he said. On Monday, I wanted to make the cut. On Sunday, I wanted to win the golf tournament. But this is a game that exposes you. As much as we love it and as beautiful as it is, this heartbreak is a part of it as well. And I just hope that this young man who is carrying the weight of Chile on his shoulders and his buddies up there on the hill watching him, we've seen it from time immemorial in this game. It's why I love the game. Mm-hmm. It's why a hole like the 18th at Southern Hills is so special. It's why Augusta National toughened up the 18th hole to make it difficult to make four at the last. And I think having water to the right there and requiring the player to step up and hit the shot required is what major championship golf is all about.
Yeah, that 18th hole, that changed the entire storyline.
And maybe he hits three wood if he has a two-shot lead.
Yeah.
That's why I keep going back to that 17th hole, and I'm watching that putt go up the hill, and often when players are feeling nerves, they kind of leave it the putts just a little bit short. And I just wonder, if he had the two-shot lead, is there a different conversation between Mito and his caddy?
But he said he didn't really feel that nervous. He
hit
driver there every day, so why change your strategy at this point when you're coming up clutch and you're coming up the biggest hole of your career? I mean, he didn't have really any reason to change his plan.
Yeah, you don't want 240 going into that final hole,
no.
That's for sure. But man, oh man, a one-shot lead on a major championship Sunday is gone like that, and so often we see it.
Yeah, I just really hope that we see him in this position again, because it's the kind of player that you think, well, hey, we may never see him in contention on a Sunday at a major, or we may get that opportunity again. And for him, I hope this just doesn't derail his confidence and sort of his mental strength in the game, because he played some incredible golf all week long, and sleeping on a three-shot lead headed into Sunday at a PGA, that is not easy.
I think we learned a lot about him this week. I think we'll learn even more about him going forward.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Okay, well, stay with us here on Golf Today, because we've got plenty more coming your way. More reaction to the 104th PGA Championship. Now, a two-time PGA champion, we bring you an exclusive sit-down interview with our newly crowned major winner at Southern Hills. Justin Thomas is joined by our very own Todd Lewis. And we look back on the week that was for Tiger. After fighting hard to make the cut, the 15-time major champ ultimately withdrew on Saturday, never heading into Sunday. What's next for the big cat?
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
With that, we welcome you into our Golf Channel studios. Great to have you with us on a Monday. Anna Jackson, delighted to be back alongside Damon Hacker. Damon, busy weekend in golf as always. What's on your mind, my friend?
I've seen JT talk about how hard it is to win major championships. Reminded me of an anecdote from the 2005 U.S. Open at Pinehurst No. 2. Michael Campbell, who won his only major championship that week, bumped into Tiger Woods in the men's locker room afterwards, and he says, I don't know how you do this week after week, year after year, time after time. And Tiger was like, oh, I guess it's just luck. But Michael Campbell was absolutely tuckered after winning that major at the U.S. Open. And you could see the elation from Justin Thomas, but winning a major championship takes a lot out of you. No wonder it took him 5 years to win another. It's just, guys need a lot of time to recover from such an emotional week.
I once had a couple of swing coach lessons by Michael Campbell.
Did you really?
Yeah, he's got a big golf sort of training resort out in Spain. He took me through my irons, my putter, my wedges, you know, kind of helped actually.
How about that? Probably helped you win some golf tournaments. And speaking of which, it's time now for Winning Moments presented by Win Grips. How about some highlights, kind of JT through the week?
Yes, let's do that, shall we? Let's start with him on the par 4 18th, 20 feet to 30.
I mean, this hole has given the pros fits through the years. Major championship history at Southern Hills, not for JT, 20 feet, 67 opening round.
Very tasty. How about round two? Can he better it or can he match it on the par 5 fifth?
Tough conditions on that Friday. Out early, kind of weird seeing the wind come up as much as it did in the morning, then it got calm in the afternoon, but he was in the teeth of it and playing well.
Yeah, gets back to 5 under, so now on 9 feet for birdie, his final hole of the day. So back-to-back rounds of 67. He's at 6 under, headed into the weekend. Now round 3.
Finishing off rounds, so important in majors now. This is that 6th hole, tough par 3, misses that 4-footer, drops to 5 under, trying to hold it together now, just stay in the fight.
Hold it together, JT, now on 7 footer for par.
Back-to-back bogey, shoots that 74, tied for 7th, and you're thinking, probably not going to be a second Wanamaker.
Probably not going to be JT's day, also based on 6.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, Damon Hack, I hate to say it, resembles us off the team.
The shank is the shot of the great golfer, I was once told. I mean, it happens, you know, Webb Simpson every once in a while.
Yeah.
Mahan back in the day. It happens sometimes, even to great ball strikers.
Well, it didn't last for long. How about that? Saved bogey.
You gotta save it. You gotta find a way to stay in the fight. Double bogeys are brutal in majors. You can recover from bogeys.
You can, and he did. How about this on 18? I think competition was in his eye at this point. Amazing tee shot.
Yeah, really such a cool finishing hole. The amphitheater there, the difficulty of the hole, the questions that this hole asks of the players every time majors come to Southern Hills.
And he was only trailing by 1 at this point, so JT knew if he could just make par that he might just be in for a chance. And then he goes and does that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of players who are more enjoyable to watch when they get into the flow of their golf swing, like Justin Thomas.
That's right. So let's head over to the playoff, shall we? The second playoff hole against Will Zalatoris, because they tied at 5 under through regulation play.
And this really the key hole after they both birdied the first playoff hole, sitting in different ways. And this is JT saying, I'm going to need another birdie here. 2-putt from 35 feet.
Listen to those crowds, by the way. They are just eating this up. So this is it. Winner's putt.
Oh. Gotta love it. Just the emotion, you know. My sons were like, wait, where's the big kind of fist pump moment? I'm like, hey, boys, he's exhaling, you know. He can carry that burden on his shoulders, wanting it so badly. How about birding 6 of his final 13 holes, including those 2 in the playoff. Take a look at the players to win multiple PGAs before the age of 30. All in the Hall of Fame or on their way. Sarazen, Woods, McIlroy, Koepka, and Justin Thomas. Now here's JT with our own Todd Lewis.
Justin, at what point during your round, and by the way, you trailed by 8 shots at one point in your round, did you realize you could win this? And when you had that moment, what changed?
I knew I could. It just was one of those things, like, is it going to happen? And I wasn't looking at leaderboards, so I didn't know exactly where I stood. I kind of fed off the crowd and relied on them a little bit. And I knew when I made that putt on 12, I could just, it was a different roar than some of the putts I made earlier in the round or even on 11. It just felt like it was good. The leaders were kind of right there around 9, too, to where they could hear it. And that was just kind of, I'm like, I don't know if I'm 2 back or 6 back, but we got 6 holes left. Let's see what we can do, kind of thing.
I want to go back to Saturday night. You said after you shot the 74 mm-hmm. that your caddy, Jim Bones McKay, kind of gave you a pep talk.
Mm-hmm.
First off, were you doubting yourself a bit after that round Saturday? And secondly, what did Bones say to you?
Yeah, I think I don't know necessarily doubting myself is the right way to say it. I would say angry at myself is an understatement, but it's probably how I would describe it. It just was one of those things like you being in the second to last group, having such great control of my game the first 2 rounds, playing unbelievable golf and being comfortable in the moment and being happy to be back, and then you feel like you shoot around and just take yourself out of the tournament. It's just like these majors don't come, you know, it's not like if I didn't get it done today, I'd go next week and I could have another chance at a major. You know, there's a reason there's only 4 of them a year, and I, along with everybody else, want to win them. So I needed to go to the range and kind of let some steam out. And we just were probably just kind of chatting more than anything. And Bones is just kind of like, you know, just we're in a good spot. You're playing well. Like, there's 6 people ahead of you, but they haven't won a major before. You have. Just kind of keep your head up kind of thing. And then we talked again in my locker. He just kind of, you know, asked, can I get 30 seconds with you? And just pretty much stop being so hard on yourself. You know, you've I've played unbelievable golf this year, and I just haven't had any trophies to show for it. But I'm glad that, you know, we have a big one now to share it together.
I want to continue this conversation about people that impact you. You talked about Bones. Tiger Woods, you're a great friend of his. Have you learned anything by just watching him or having conversations with him that maybe helped you today?
Definitely how he handles himself on the golf course. It's a very underrated, I think, characteristic of his. And, I mean, he obviously is freakishly talented and the best, you know, to ever play the game out here. But it's a very unique quality to go about his way like he does. It's very... He's to himself. Like, we know that, you know, he may not have the best mouth from time to time, but he doesn't take anything out on Joe as caddy. He doesn't take anything out on fans. He doesn't take anything out on other players. It's just, as soon as it's done, he'll say or do whatever he needs, and then it's over, and it's on to the next one, and the next shot that you're going to hit is the most important one you've ever hit in your life. And it's really, really cool to watch him do that, and it's I wish it was easier for me to do that, but that's kind of in the similar mind frame that I felt like I was in today. It was, if it didn't go well, say whatever I needed to. It wasn't Bones' fault. It was my fault. If something bad happened, get it out of the way and let's move on.
You are the son of a PGA professional, the grandson of a PGA professional. So this championship means a lot to you and your family. How impactful is it?
It means a lot, obviously. It's very special to not only to win it, I guess you could say, for the family, but get to spend and share this moment physically with them. You know, my parents being here. So many of the directors, I watched a lot of the award ceremonies for my dad being a district officer out there on the green, and me, you know, being jealous that he's that close to the PGA Championship winner and how I hope I could do that one day. And now, you know, doing it twice is it's really, really, it's awesome.
Do you feel like there's a weight lifted getting this victory, especially the victory being a second major?
Yeah, it's about like 35 pounds or 27 pound weight off. It's great. I mean, I think truly anybody can win one, and I think this kind of takes me to another level.
What is that level in your mind?
I mean, it's just I'm trying to win as many majors as I can in my career in many tournaments, and winning another one is a big stepping stone, and now I'll enjoy this tonight with everyone, but you know, I'm playing next week, and then I have another major again in a couple of weeks to where we'll try to go do it again.
All right, I want to continue this final thing about the people that impact your life. Let's not forget about your fiance Jill. You got your major champion and you're getting married this fall. Have you had some fun planning this wedding?
Yeah, maybe our budget can go up a little bit now. it's great. I mean, having someone like that is in your support system and in your corner. I mean, she has been through and seen a lot of different times and a lot of different moods and a lot of different moments. And, you know, she did a great job of kind of handling this week and just not making the moment bigger than it was. I mean, she wants me to play well. She probably wants me to play well more than I want to play well. And they have it the hardest because if we play bad, they can't say anything to make us feel better, but they feel like they want to say something to support. And all we want to do is just yell or cuss or do something. And often they're the person that we vent to. So having great support system like I do in Jill is very special, and yeah, getting the first win as an engaged man, it's nice to be a major.
There you go. Band or DJ at the reception?
Both.
Oh, maybe you can get Bruno Mars now with this win. Hey, congrats.
Thanks, dude.
Happy days for Justin Thomas. Well, look at this. Five-time PGA champion Jack Nicklaus sending this out on Twitter. Congratulations to JT on the PGA Championship. When you have an opportunity, you need to take advantage of it. And he did. A great second major win. Very happy for him. Could not happen to a nicer young man.
Love that. You know, JT wanted to chase down Tiger and Jack as far as collecting some more Wanamaker trophies. Time now, though, take a look at the Comcast Business Tour Top 10 and the reason why this is so important. Since 2009, every player who finished in the Comcast Business Tour Top 10 made it to the Tour Championship at East Lake This year, the FedEx Cup winner received $18 million. That's why these guys are smiling. Look at Justin Thomas, up from 11 to number 4. Scottie Scheffler still in the catbird seat. All right, tough ending to the week for four-time PGA champ Tiger Woods as he fought to make the cut and then withdrew on Saturday night. Our takeaways from his return to Southern Hills after the break.
We are back on Golf Today. Now, 2007 marks the last time the PGA Championship was held at Southern Hills. Of course, Tiger Woods picked up his fourth Wanamaker trophy. Now, fast forward to Sunday, and his good buddy old pal Justin Thomas got the job done for career major number 2. So let's take a look at the week that was for Mr. Tiger Woods. Let's start with round 1, Damon Hack, on the 10th hole, the par 4.
Oh, the way he started this championship after telling us he believed he could win 5th. Wanamaker trophy last week from 95 yards to 3 feet birdie out of the gate.
And we thought maybe could he win at this point early on a Thursday. Now onto 14, the par 4 for birdie.
Yeah, just looking like the vintage Tiger. Crowds 10, 15 deep, 2 under through his first 5 holes.
Yeah, the golfing world getting very excited. Now on 8, the par 3, second out of the greenside bunker. Ah.
A little bit of reality starting to set in. Well past the hole, he would bogey. Things not going in the right direction.
No, he'd moved to 9 at 3 over par, his 3rd out of the rough.
Yeah, just absolutely the wrong shot. Clubs it, back-to-back bogeys to end his round, 74.
Yeah, so on to round 3 now. Second hole, the par 4, his tee shot.
You know, and kudos for the fight that he had, making it into the weekend, but you could see just the labored swing from time to time, the labored walk from time to time, the weather not cooperating as well.
Yeah, it was cold, it was windy, it was not Tiger-like conditions. So now the par 3, 6th, his tee shot, 218 yards.
Gosh, what a bear this hole was for the completely healthy players, let alone a convalescing one for 218. The water, triple bogey, 4 over for the day at this point.
Looking so tough out there for Tiger now. He made the turn onto 11, the par 3, his 2nd just off the green.
Yeah, just doesn't have the feels, not able to put the work in that he wants to, and just his health not what it was at the start of the week.
So 8 over 4 the day, onto 12, the par 4, short one for par. He wouldn't make that, so he would tap in for bogey. And that Saturday round of 9 over 79, 12 over total.
Here's what Tiger's longtime agent Mark Steinberg had to say. Obviously, he was in a lot of pain and discomfort today. The quick turnaround, dramatic weather conditions. Afterwards, he made the decision, and that's where we are in terms of withdrawing before that Sunday. The future has always been a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month thing. There is not an update on his future. That's not a bad thing. That's just reality. Here's JT on Tiger.
Well, I mean, he made the cut in a 2nd major in a row, you know, what, a year and a half after being in a gruesome car accident, broken leg. Like, I don't think you guys understand how unbelievable that is. I mean, he's a freak of nature, and it's just it's mind-blowing the things that he can do with his mind. And it's I didn't play during his prime, but from the times I've been out here and him winning the Masters in 19 and winning the Tour Championship, I mean, him making the cut these last 2 tournaments for how, you know, some of the conditions he was in last year, it's absurd, like beyond absurd. I talked to him a little last night and asked how he was feeling, and he just said he was feeling terrible because my name kept dropping on the leaderboard. So I was like, thanks, good to talk to you too. I'll talk to you later, so.
Well, let's take a look at his performance splits in majors this year. So, of course, the Masters and now the PGA Championship. Performance is considerably better Thursday to Friday when things start to go a little bit downhill over the weekend. Maybe it's fatigue, it's just rust, Damon Hack, but it's really tough to see Tiger Woods grinding it out there so hard. And to be fair to him, he put in everything to make it through to Saturday when you've got some of the big names like Scheffler, Rahm, Cantlay missing the cut, whereas Tiger, in the health condition that he's got, he still made the cut. It was incredible, but the body just isn't there yet.
Yeah, the greats seek control of their game, of their lives. And when Tiger was at the height of his power, he seemed to be able to control the uncontrollables. And where he is at this point at 46, there's so much out of his control. How will he feel when he wakes up day to day? What's the weather forecast going to be for a convalescing golfer who is, you know, going on these golf courses, Anna, that are the hardest in the world? I mean, he's playing the Hogan schedule, which means the golf courses are going to ask the toughest questions and often be the toughest walks. Augusta National, Southern Hills, you know, a U.S. Open on a short turnaround. Is that even a possibility? We know how much he wants to compete and expects to play in July at the Old Course for the 150th Open. But Tiger Woods was always the master of his life and everything he surveyed, the master of all he surveyed, and now he's not. And now he is a golfer competing against guys half his age who are sharp and hungry and able to hit balls hour after hour like he once could. Now he's doing it with limited reps, you know, like a pitcher on a pitch count. He just can't quite get a hold of the game in the way that he used to.
But he just loves it. He loves competing. He loves being out there with his Tiger babies and just showing, and he wants to prove that he can be back and he can compete. And Tiger being Tiger genuinely thinks he can win. And you cannot write off Tiger Woods because he has done the undoable so many times and he's proved us all wrong time and time again. But to go out there in majors and only tee it up four times in a year and truly believe that you can compete, I mean, it's an impossible task.
It is. And is it going to be enough for Tiger to fight to make cuts? And listen, we're at the beginning of this latest comeback, and there have been a lot of them. But as I was watching the golf over the weekend, I was wondering, obviously with admiration at his ability to withstand pain, you know, what's going to be enough for him? Is it enough for him to have the pride and the fight of a champion to find his way into Saturday? Because that Friday was awesome watching him fight and make those par saves. That was vintage Tiger. But to do so when he's all about winning and has been all about winning. And maybe at 46 now, there's a larger story that he wants to tell. He was very reflective at Augusta and saying, hey, you know what? If someone at home is taking a message for not giving up and keeping the fight and talking about being in a hospital bed for 3 months, and then on the day out of that hospital bed, he did something large or small every day, whatever his body could take, he would do something pointing towards returning to the Masters. So it's still an inspirational story, but I just wonder, deep in his soul, is it going to be enough to continue to fight to make cuts? Or does he see this as still kind of a step in the process of trying to get back to a better form of health? You know, where is that ceiling of good health? Are we there yet? Or is he still, you know, does he have some room to get stronger and stronger with that leg?
Yeah, it is an inspirational story because no one grinds harder than Tiger Woods. He's been a little bit sort of non-committal about the US Open. We know he told Cara Banks at the Masters that he is planning to play the 150th Open Championship at St. Andrews. I mean, and what scenes they would be where he's got so much history, so much emotion. It would just be incredible. But let's head out to our colleagues, shall we? Because for more on the 15-time major champion, let's welcome in Rex Hoggard, who was on the ground at Southern Hills. Rex, great to see you. Tell us, what stood out to you for Tiger last week?
These new patterns that you guys touched on, the idea when he showed up on Sunday at Augusta, following him around, he looked healthy. I mean, there was a little bit of a limp, but the swing looked good. He looked like he had energy. He was engaging. But as the week went by, you saw him get run down. He talked about this last week, about how on the weekend at Augusta, his endurance just flattened out, and that impacted his game. Now, fast forward to last week. It was a very, very similar scenario. On Sunday, when he's walking around the course, he looked happy. He looked engaged. He looked like he had energy. The swing looks good. And then it sort of just trails off from there. And it obviously does not help. And we heard that in Mark Steinberg's quote, that on Saturday, he not only got the weather, but he also got the quick turnaround. Whereas he was helped out both at the Masters and last week with an early, late tee time. That gives him the biggest window to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, which is his words, not mine. That's what he said he has to go through. Without that window, it's clear he's going to struggle. And I guess to you guys' conversation, at what point, well, two questions. One, why? I mean, when you see the pain, when you see the effort, when you see everything that he's going through just to compete on this level, and Damon, I agree with you 100%, just making that cut was impressive, but you wonder, why does he want to keep putting himself through that? And if the ultimate goal is to play the Open, which I think we can all just assume it is, going back to St. Andrews, it's probably a course he feels like he can still contend on, even in the condition that he's in. I'm not quite sure going to the U.S. Open is going to help that.
Yeah, everyone in the game hoping a speedy recovery for the 15-time major champ. How about Justin Thomas and Bones? We know Tiger was watching, I'm sure, his buddy get that second Wanamaker. What does Bones provide Justin Thomas in your estimation?
It's so much. And we're colleagues at Bones. And Damon, you and I got a chance to hang out with him quite a bit when he was working for Golf Channel and NBC Sports. And so we sort of saw that side of him, sort of the analytical side, what makes him such a good caddy. But the part that got me is as we were watching on Sunday, and there were such cool conversations that they laid out and let us listen to on the 17th and the 18th tees, where they're sort of talking through exactly what JT wanted to do and why he wanted to hit driver and what his mindset was. There you see sort of Bones the caddy at his best, and that's why he's a Hall of Fame caddy. That's why we all knew he was going to be special. But the part that got me is early in the week, Justin Thomas talked about his dad being a swing coach and the relationship that they have. And it's a conversation they've had to have about, you need to be tough with me. I need some tough love from time to time. And as a father, you're a father, I'm a father, we can all sympathize with this. The dad's not willing to step in and be overly critical. When he needed that sort of criticism, which was Saturday night, he shot a 74. He clearly wasn't happy. He probably felt like he'd shot himself out of the tournament. It wasn't Mike that stepped up. It was Bones, who kind of got in his face and said, look, you're being too hard on yourself. You're playing very, very well. This is a very difficult golf course, and you're still in this tournament. The mindset when I talked to Mike yesterday afterwards was not to look at the fact that you're 7 strokes off the lead. It was, look at all the guys in second place. Let's go after the 6-unders first, and then we'll go from there. It kind of shows you exactly why they make such a good pairing. Talking with Bones yesterday, he said he loved being on the TV side. He loved announcing, but he goes, ask my wife. I told her 2 years ago that the one person I would leave TV for the caddy for is JT, and we saw why this weekend.
Yeah, his advice on Saturday night was just absolutely priceless, Rex. And just a little word on Will Zalatoris. It was so close, just missed out on the title in that playoff against Justin Thomas. The future is just so bright for this young man. What do you think is coming next?
You guys were talking about earlier in the show about how crucial that putt was on the 72nd hole, the 8-footer. He knew it was to get in the playoff. And it's funny because Will's putting is the one thing we're all going to point at as analysts and say, well, that's his weak spot. I had a chance to talk with Josh Gregory about this. And after missing the cut in Dallas, and he putted so poorly, he lost about 4.5 strokes to the field in putting. They actually got together on Saturday afternoon at Dallas National, and they realized that his right hand had come up about an inch higher on the putter, and he'd lost some control. And if you look at what he did last week, not just that 8-footer, which was a great crucial putt, he gained 4.5 strokes on the field, which when someone who hits it as well as he does that, it gives you an idea of how quickly he can turn that around.
Yeah, Will Zalatoris hunting major championships. Rex, great speaking with you. Great job racking up those frequent flyer miles and hotel points on the road, as well as the reporting. We'll speak to you soon.
See you guys.